My name is Andy Domick. You are listening to Look West. Today we're going to be talking with Assemblymember Dr. Jasmeet Bains, who is the chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, as well as the California Department of Aging Director Susan Damaris, about the growing population of Californians over the age of 60, the challenges they face, and ways California is working to make their lives better. Also, we'd like to talk a little bit about the ways that California is making aging a little more joyful, because ideally, everybody ages, and we want to see how California can make that experience more joyful for them. I'd like to introduce Dr. Bains. Do you want to give a little intro about yourself, about why this topic is important to you?
Sure. So I am Dr. Jasmeet Bains. I am a family medicine addiction specialist that works in Kern County. Grew up in Kern County all of my life and am still there. Am honored that my community saw the work that I was doing as a primary care provider and my work that I've been doing on the front lines of our fentanyl crisis and elevated me to the position of working in the assembly as their state representative. I am the first doctor to chair the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, and it brings a different set of perspective, especially when it comes to our medical care for our aging population and making sure we have culturally and linguistically sensitive care. I am honored to still practice in my hometown of Delano, California, across the street from where I went to preschool as a kid. It is such a joyous honor to not only serve my community as a physician, but also represent them in the state assembly.
I have the privilege of serving as the director of California's Department of Aging. I've served in this role as an appointee in the Newsom administration for about 2.5 years, and it's my privilege to serve as California's principal advocate for older adults. That is the charge of the Department of Aging, and we also have the honor of leading the governor's master plan for aging. We're now in year 4 of the state's 10-year blueprint for older Californians, people with disabilities, and family caregivers. And through that work, we work across all agencies and departments. It's a whole-of-government approach, and we're actively working to improve the quality of life for Californians of all ages and life stages.
As we dig into this, you know, statistics are important and everything, but sometimes it's the personal stories, you know, the whys for this. And I understand that we all share something in common. I served as a caregiver for my father as he was, when he was dying. And I understand that you both have served as caregivers. Dr. Bains, do you want to go first?
Absolutely. I never thought I'd find myself in a position to be a caregiver. As a physician, I knew, you know, we do caregiving as a physician on the work side, but my grandmother, who encouraged me to become a doctor, I mean, the reality of kids growing up in Delano is being a physician is not in your vocabulary. Running for office is not in the vocabulary. Kids in Kern County are often trying to figure out how to live here and now. They mature at a much earlier age than kids across the state, and you're having to deal with a whole bunch of different issues. So thinking about what you're going to do when you grow up isn't really part of the vocabulary. My grandmother was a big, big advocate for me. She always stressed the importance of access to healthcare. Actually, one of the biggest reasons she wanted to immigrate to America was access to healthcare. And, you know, in her about five, six years before she passed, she was starting to have some health complications. She was living in Texas with my uncle at that time. And I was talking to her. She told me, "Oh, I passed out on the floor yesterday. I don't know what happened." I said, "Grandma, that's not normal. I'm doing my residency. You know, come here. Let's investigate what's happening." She was resistant because she was worried it would take away from my residency care. And I said, "Grandma, you don't understand. I became a physician because of you. This is my honor. And throughout my life, I've accomplished quite a bit, but I've always said this, my biggest accomplishment of my life is the honor and ability to take care of my grandmother as her primary caregiver. And that honor is anybody's biggest accomplishment of their life.
Director DeMoris, I understand you also have an experience caring for a loved one.
I do. And I have just so appreciated Dr. Bain's life experience and leadership in Sacramento and what she brings as chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, because my mom lived in rural Lake County. And so when I hear Dr. Baines talk about representing a medically underserved area where there are huge health inequities, transportation and access issues, it really resonates with me. There's a saying that the best long-term care policy you can have is an adult daughter. And my mom was fortunate. She had four daughters, and we shared caregiving duties. None of us lived near her, and it was very hard to access rural Lake County where she lived. And so we staggered our visits. And working in this field, I saw my mom was a Medi-Cal beneficiary. She did not have access to quality medical care. She had a variety of cognitive impairments that were not recognized and formally diagnosed. She and her husband, who was a very devoted caregiver, to his detriment, they could have really used support. It wasn't available to them, offered to them, known to them. They really relied on informal networks of care and family who were all remote and coming from a distance. It was not ideal. They lived on a 5-acre property. They became very isolated because they didn't drive at night. And when her dementia was most advanced and following her having a stroke, there was a whole summer of wildfires that closed the main highway, Highway 20, to access Lake County. So when we would go for our regular visits and check-ins, we had to go the long way. It took another 5 hours to get to them when the highway was closed. And these are all issues that have surfaced in our master plan for aging about quality medical care, early detection and diagnosis, accessing home and community-based services, the threat of climate change and disaster, especially in our rural communities, access to transportation. I saw it all bear out. Ultimately, we moved our mom into a nursing home to be closer to one of my sisters, and I got to see another big issue in the master plan for aging, the dedication of our direct care workforce. Just incredible, incredible staff who worked in that nursing home.
In addition to the paid staff, as I understand it, California has over 4 million unpaid caregivers. How important is that? I mean, it's an army of caregivers. How important is that army to, you know, California making taking steps to make life better for older Californians?
For me as a doctor, I think it's the avenue. It's an area that California often neglects, and it's a very, very important area of aging and long-term care, making sure we have the workforce to be able to provide care at home. I mean, California has invested quite a bit in meal programs, outreach for aging adults, but if there's no one to feed that person there, if the person is there, they can't even get up to go collect the meal from the front door, just providing that at the door is not enough. And it is very troubling that in California, there are an estimated 4.4 million unpaid caregivers. This is an avenue that we have to put eyes on. California continuously funds programs that will bring access to resources, But there is this pocket of making sure that there are appropriate resources and appropriate paid avenues for caregivers. I mean, in the physician world, we know that there is no other better care. The mortality rate decreases when the person is being taken care of by their own loved one in their own home. So that represents, and I'm not sure what the amount was, about 4.1 billion hours of unpaid caregivers here in California that's being provided. 4.1 billion hours of care.
Goal number four of the Master Plan for Aging is caregiving that works. And we define caregiving as both informal, unpaid family and friend caregiving, as well as paid caregiving. And specific to the unpaid caregiving sector, we're very proud in California that we have the In-Home Supportive Services Program, the largest home and community-based service waiver program in the nation, that today has close to 800,000 clients in the IHSS program, and more than half are over age 65. So the primary audience of IHSS would be older adults, and many of their family members are able to be paid through the IHSS program. So that's one step. The others, we find that with a family or friend caregiver, often, you know, just as Dr. Bain said, a few hours of respite can go a long way. Training, 1 hour of skill building and training can go a long way. So we're really proud in our state that we have a network of 11 caregiver resource centers. They focus only on the caregiver. The client is the caregiver. And they cover all 58 counties in our state. We also have a network of 33 area agencies on aging. They cover all 58 counties in our state. And those, what we call AAAs, they provide caregiver supports. They provide training, respite, counseling. And so anyone in California can access either a AAA or a caregiver resource center. Neither of them are income-based, so individuals can approach them and find out what services might be available for them. We're so fortunate coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic that we've had an infusion of federal resources through ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act, and the Home and Community-Based Services Spending Plan. I'll point to two specific initiatives. One is the In-Home Supportive Services Career Pathways, and the other is CalGROWS. They're both focused on family caregivers and the direct care workforce. They provide training on a variety of topics, behavioral health, cognitive impairments, activities of daily living, and they also provide stipend payments to paid workers. But any family caregiver can access this inventory and catalog of free online training on any topic, end-of-life care, topics that they may need to know, and they can learn from the comfort of their own home and computer. One of the strengths of both the IHSS Career Pathways and CalGROWS is we are partnering with local community-based organizations that are really close to the ground and close to the community and close to the workforce. So through these two initiatives, we've identified dozens upon dozens of best practices and models in various languages, cultural competence, programs that are and education and training that are targeted to the LGBTQ+ community. And so this has really yielded an inventory of very contemporary topics that are reflective of California's demographics today.
And it's so important to see the state adapting, because things are a lot different now than they were 50 years ago when CDA was founded.
The numbers are dramatically different from 1974. We just pulled out the first state report from 1974 when our department was formed. And oh my gosh, the times have really changed. I can tell you, When we were established 50 years ago, the total population of people 60 plus in our state was 2.7 million. And that warranted the formation of a state department on aging. Today, we have 8.4 million Californians who are 60 plus. We've gone from being just over 10% of the population to close to 25% of the population in the 50 years that our department has been in existence.
How can California, I mean, we're all going to age. Ideally, every one of us is going to age. And we're all ideally going to have family and friends that love us to be there with us, ideally. What can we do as Californians to make aging more joyful for people?
Aging is a very culturally sensitive topic. A lot of different cultures have a lot of different theories around aging. When it comes to the Indian community, to the Hispanic community, across a lot of other ethnicities, every culture has a different viewpoint of aging. It's religious, many it's non-religious, and you know, America is the melting pot of pretty much every ethnicity out there, and every culture. We have a due diligence to serve and to make sure everything, like all of our bases are covered when it comes to sensitivities culturally. But one of the biggest things California can do is literally for someone, like as a person that is aging, create, you know, avenues of what's going to happen. So for instance, me in a medical office, when patients ask questions, hey, I'm turning 65, what do you think I'm going to, experience, the first thing I tell them is, well, you got to do this screening, you got to do that screening. There's medical, on the medical side, you got to make sure you're doing your proper colon screenings, making sure you're getting your mammograms by age 40. So screening's a critical point. But at the same time, what happens to the body when it ages? What happens to your blood pressure? It will go up. That's a normal process of aging. What happens to, mental function? Yes, some things are going to get harder. That is a normal process. So the biggest thing that California can do is create this roadmap of what is normal aging and what is not normal aging. Because a lot of Californians will sit there and say, oh, that's normal. And as a doctor, be like, nope, that's not normal. Yes, your blood pressure should increase, but it should not be increasing that much, Mr. Smith. That is way too much. So the one of the biggest things, and that gives, aging adults a sense of relief when they know what is normal and what is not normal, because they will oftentimes hide something. Like I had an elderly gentleman that was peeing blood, and he didn't want to say anything because he was worried it was cancer. And it actually ended up being that he was eating beets and it was turning his urine red. And, it's encouraging them to know, and speak and ask questions, but also really get a grasp on a master plan of what is normal and what is not normal for aging adults.
I'll point to two things. When Governor Newsom issued his executive order in June of 2019 that established the master plan for aging, it was set out as a whole of government approach, and it was important from the outset, and still to this day, 4 years in, that we're not focused solely on health and human services. Older adults often get boxed into their medical issues, and people forget about their other interests, needs, and supports the whole person. So we're proud to partner with the parks, California Parks, and providing free passes to older adults, and looking at ways that older adults can continue to work and earn income and have meaning and purpose in their lives, encore careers, volunteerism to make sure that older adults have ample opportunities to be engaged in their communities, to participate in community life. So that's a big part of California's master plan, is to make sure that older adults have purpose, meaning, and belonging inside the health and human services space and in other sectors of California, government and private sector.
I really like that because, because someone's older doesn't mean that their experience is no longer valuable. And those opportunities allow California to benefit because these people have had years of experience doing sometimes exceptional things. And it allows that experience to stay with us for as long as we possibly can.
And when you look at the great institutions in our state, the University of California system, the CSU system, the community college system, today's older adults are the ones who built that up. You know, for the most part, they created the society that we all enjoy today. And so it's really important to be focused on assets and contributions that our older adults contribute to our state historically and today, to not forget that today older adults are contributing meaningfully in their families, in their communities, in their regions, and in statewide leadership roles. And that's something with May being Older Californians Month and Older Americans Month, we really want to focus on and all, you know, the rich experience that older adults contribute to our state.
I love that you guys say that, because what's happening right now in a lot of different boards and commissions, it's, oh, you're too old, let the young ones in. But there's a problem there, because there is a depth of knowledge that will be missing if our older population just steps away from boards and commissions. And oftentimes they have seen things that our younger generation has not seen. And they will be able to provide that background history that you won't be able to read in any textbook. You won't be able to Google anywhere. But that person will know how to maneuver through that problem without anybody, like without it being in any aspect of the universe other than the mind of that person that went through it.
So we have about 10 minutes left. I have one more question for each of you. Director DeMoris, I'd like to start with you. What do you think, California's been a leader in terms of serving our aging population?
California has absolutely been a leader in serving our older adult population, and going forward, no question are we a leader, a nationwide leader. I'll point to two examples. One, our state master plan for aging. California has modeled the way. Now more than 26 other states have adopted their own multi-sector plans on aging. We provide technical assistance to other states constantly. We get calls, we present at conferences, we share everything that we've learned, and we're extremely proud that earlier this year, the U.S. Senate introduced a national strategic plan on aging that's modeled on California's plan. We've been pioneers in home and community-based services. We're not where we need to be yet. We're getting there, but we've been head and shoulders above other states in terms of offering opportunities for people to live at home, in the community, and to prevent, avoid, and delay institutional placements. That's a core value of our state, and it's part of why we formed the In-Home Supportive Services Program decades ago, to have consumer-directed choice and options and alternatives at the community level, and we're deeply committed to that going forward.
Dr. Baines, as chair of the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee, I know you have some legislative ideas going forward. What does California have to look forward to? What ideas are you putting forward?
Yeah, I mean, California absolutely has a right to be proud of the work that we're doing in this space. You don't see the work in any other state being done, and it takes leaders to recognize and bring awareness to an issue that literally changes the landscape of so much. So I'm very proud of California being a leader in this space. When I first came to the assembly, I never dreamed of being a chair of a committee. I thought I was a freshman, I'm not going to be able to, but you know, the legislature quickly recognized my expertise level that I was bringing and appointed me as a freshman to be chair of Aging and Long-Term Care, which is a super honor. I didn't know if I was ready for it, but as I'm stepping into this role of transitioning from a physician all my experiences there to being comfortable being a legislature in a world I've never been in, nor have I ever had any vocabulary. I've never been a staffer in this building. I've never, my experience of the Capitol is literally taking selfies outside. And here I am, and I am being welcomed and cherished for my expertise. A couple of things that we're working on right now is AB 2541, which is peace officer training for wandering, which requires post work with experts to develop training for responding to wandering individuals, which is very important. It's impacting my community as well, as oftentimes families report they don't know where their loved ones have gone, and law enforcement oftentimes doesn't know how to effectively correspond and bring all the resources to not only find the person, but at the same time bring reassurance to family members, and then also work with their communities to safeguard wandering adults as well. AB 2689 extends California Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementia Research Voluntary Tax Contribution Fund. As you know, we're reaching a budget deficit, but how do we make sure that programs that are vital keep in statute and we keep funding them? So I'm really proud that this extends the research related to Alzheimer's and dementia as well, to safeguard and protect our aging Californians. In addition to a few other things, we are going to be doing a resolution recognizing Older Californians Month, which will be ACR 184. So I look forward to having everyone here join me on that, Director DeMaurice and Liz Fuller and my staff and everyone, to really celebrate the contributions of older Californians.
Dr. Baines, Director DeMaurice, thank you so much for being here. I'm Andy Domick, and you're listening to Look West.